are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening. I love baptisms. I think baptisms are such an incredibly exciting thing, just for those getting baptized, but also for the lives that are changed in this process. And it's great to see so many here tonight supporting the three that are getting baptized. You know, over the years, baptism has been one of those subjects that has caused much controversy. And it not only caused controversy, but it's caused a lot of division, both in Christian churches and outside of Christian churches. I remember being in Holland some years ago, and Holland is made up of many villages, and they just seem to go village, 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 and people live in their village and stay in their village. And there was two churches literally using a party wall, one church facing that way, one church facing that way, on the same block of land. And I said to one of the guys, I said, how come there's two churches like that? Why aren't they together? And he said, oh, they had a difference over baptism. And so they started a new church. But because they both owned the land, the church owned the land, they just decided that they'd have two churches. And so, you know, baptism is one of those things that just creates division. And so I thought tonight what I'd do is, just before we baptize these people, just talk a little bit about baptism, explain from our point of view or from my point of view what I think it looks like. But let's look at some of those things that have caused confusion, first of all. You know, going back... you're going to have to help me, Cass, because they've all got mixed up. I'm looking for the one that starts with whose name. So it'll be slide number one or slide number two. That's it. Thanks. So you've got to find slide number three next, okay? And then four. And guess what comes after four, Cass? Five. Good. Well done. And we'll just keep working through, Cass, so you can keep moving them while you do that. So whose name? You know, what formula? And again, you would not believe how many churches have different formulas. And realistically, I need to be honest with you, I think there is a formula, but that's just for the theologians. Realistically, God looks at the heart of man and knows what that person's doing, and that's what he's really interested in. But there has been division over the formula, over what you actually say. And then there's a division or confusion over whether you immerse somebody in a tank, and obviously you can see that we've got a tank, so we're going to bury somebody today, and we will bring them out, I promise you. But then if you went to the Methodist church like I did, you'd get sprinkled. And again, that's created much division. Now, I remember Pastor Oxy coming back from Indonesia one day, and he'd been up on a high mountain, they hadn't had much water, and it was a church that believed in immersion, but they were in a drought and they didn't have much water, and so they just used a cup. And that's fine. God looks at the heart of man. So we're not going to get bogged down, but there is a symbolic nature, and you'll see what I mean later on, about why we immerse somebody. Whether it's frontwards or backwards, and I know churches that will do it frontwards because they think that's the biblical way to do it, or they'll do it backwards, and that's created division. What age? You know, how old can you be? How young can you be when you get baptized? And, you know, we've got Sienna, really young. Got Chris, really, really old. Got Ben, half old. Okay, it doesn't matter. It comes back to that whole point on whether you can repent, whether you know what repentance is. Repent and be baptized, the Bible says. And then there's that whole concept of what happens if I was already baptized as a baby, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And we could go on and on and on about all the things that have created confusion and division. You know, whenever you see division, you know that the enemy's at work, because he is the father of division. He loves division and he loves creating division. And if he is so intent on creating division over something like baptism, then you know that baptism is incredibly important in the eyes of God. Next one, Cass. Yep, good girl, well done. Baptism. Because confusion builds barriers, let's trade the confusion tonight for clarity. Let's use the Bible to reveal the truth about baptism. And again, I'm giving you my point of view from what I believe the Bible says. If you read the Bible differently to me, then that's fine. Let's not fight over it. But let's, again, at least look at the book and see what it says. Historically, baptism has been a rite of initiation. It's showing the inductee's entrance into a new belief or a new observance. In the Baptist Church, baptism is what you do to join their denomination, whereas at LMC, we see baptism as something you're doing in obedience to Jesus' instruction. And in doing it, you are joining all Christians in the family of God. But rites and passages are not just a Christian idea. In fact, right throughout the world, right throughout history, you will see rites and passages. You'll see some of them still being used in many cultures and religions around the world today. Yep, the bar mitzvah. According to the Jewish law, at the age of 13, a boy is no longer considered a minor and is responsible to fulfill all the Torah's commandments. And therefore, he goes through a rite of passage, and that happens to him at the age of 13. It's a Jewish tradition. And then you come to Vanuatu, and you see what's called land diving. Now, I would not like to do that. That's bungee cords without a bit of rubber. That's bungee cords with bamboo entwined together. And hopefully, as you can see down the bottom, you don't hit your head. Okay, it's very, very close. But the land diving, even though they do it now as a tourist attraction, originally started as a rite of passage. When a boy is ready to become a man, he land dives in the presence of his elders. His mother watches from the bottom, holding on to his favourite childhood toy. After completing the dive, the item is then thrown away. That's of course, when the kid lives. The item is thrown away, demonstrating that the boy has now become a man. And then there's another one, and that's the Satiri Maui people. And they have a rite of passage dealing with a bullet ant glove. And this one really, really causes me some issues. The Satiri Maui people live deep in the Amazon, and their ritual is reserved only for the young men. It is exceptionally painful in both a physical and a psychological sense. Boys as young as 12 old must gather bullet ants from the forest, which are then used to make ant-ridden gloves. The young men wear the gloves 20 times for 10 minutes, performing a dance. Now, I'd be dancing too if I had bullet ants behind me. Performing a dance while those angry insects sting them. The bullet ant sting is supposed to be 30 times more painful than a bee, and each of those gloves contains dozens of ants. The ceremony, the tribe chief says, is meant to show that a life lived without suffering or without any kind of effort isn't worth living at all. So, you know, we could keep on talking about different rites of passages. Tonight, baptism is not some man-made up idea. Baptism is God-made, and it's God's idea. Baptism is a type of a rite of passage, a ceremony, a moving from one place to another. It's a declaration of commitment. So let's have a quick crash course on the historical background of baptism. Imagine you're back 500 BC. You're a Gentile, that means you're not a Jew. You're a Gentile and you've been watching the Jewish people. You've come to a conclusion that Judaism has a lot to offer, so you decide to join. What rite, what ceremony do you have to do to become a Jew? There's lots of things. The first one, which you're not that crazy about, is circumcision. Now, you know why the new members class is mainly made up of women and kids. You get that done, and then many other requirements finally come. And the last one is a ceremonial washing. You climb into a mikvah, a stone bath, and this is one that's been found over in Egypt, something like this. And in their ritual, back there 500 BC, taking a bath was symbolizing the washing away of your past life and becoming someone new, your rebirth into Judaism. And so if you move into the New Testament, baptism is a rite of passage that also has incredible meaning. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo, meaning to dip, to sink, or to submerge. And that's one of the reasons why we see baptism as immersion. When you look at a piece of material and you baptize it or you submerge it into water, it takes on the colour of the dye that is used. It's important to note that it's the dye that changes the cloth, not the water. And so the water we have here, there's nothing significant about the water. In fact, it came out of the tap. And it's going to go down the drain when we're finished. It's not holy. It was never holy and it will never be holy. It's just the vehicle that we are using to baptize somebody into. The only thing that the water does is make the cloth wet. It's the dye. It's the agent that changes the cloth's colour. And so baptism is a way of being identified with whatever the person is being baptized or submerged into. And tonight you will hear that we will be saying something like, I now baptize you into the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's why we do that, because we're baptizing him into, like the color of the dye, we're baptizing them into the very name of Jesus, into all of that means. And Jesus is, as you can see, we've been doing that for a long time. You're taking on his characteristics. You're taking on his nature, as it were. There are at least seven different baptisms mentioned in the Bible. We have the baptism of Moses. Now, going through all of these things, just to show you that baptism is not a fad. It's not something that was just thought up now. It's not a religious tradition that as a church we're doing or other churches do. It's something that has tracked right through Christianity and right through the Bible. And so it's got form, it's got reality, it's got truth about it. We have the baptism of Moses, we have the baptism of John, we have the baptism of fire. We sung about that. We have the baptism of Jesus. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit fell on him. Baptism of the cross, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we have what the Bible calls a believer's baptism. And so tonight we're looking at the believer's baptism. Water baptism or believer's baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment of repentance and identification with Christ. We're doing an outward act that's happened inwardly, that's happened in the person's heart. In Matthew 3, 13 to 17, we see the Lord Jesus himself coming to his cousin John to be baptized, which the Bible says was in order to fulfill all righteousness. Just as much as our baptism identifies us with Jesus, Jesus' baptism identified him with his Father, and that's that comment, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. We then read in Matthew 28, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, help the people to learn of me, believe in me, obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another form there. Here we see Jesus establishing baptism as the eternal decree for his church, calling every believer to follow in his footsteps. Baptism for many in the world requires immense courage. And now I know that it's taking immense courage for people to get baptized tonight, and I'm not belittling what you're doing. But in countries like Nepal, it used to mean you would go to jail if you got baptized. For Chinese believers back in the 80s and the 90s, and even now, it means being prepared to go to jail. And if you're a Muslim, it would mean denying your family or being stoned to death for denying the faith. And so baptism takes courage. Just as much as a wedding ring is an outward sign that a person is married, water baptism is designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27 says this, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. In biblical symbolism, water represents inner cleansing and spiritual rebirth, both of which are central themes through baptism. Water, spiritual rebirth, coming out of the water. In Ephesians 5:26, it says, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God. And then in Hebrews 10:22, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere thanks, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Water baptism is in fact a funeral. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to the world that the person we were before is being buried, is dead and being buried, and now being raised to life as a new creation in Christ. And again, in Romans 6, verse 4, we see For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And so again, we have that symbolic dying, being buried, raising again, and coming out of those waters, a new creation. Being baptized is a command from God. It's not an option. It's an act that God requires of every believer. In fact, among Jesus' last recorded words on earth, we read this: whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I don't personally believe that if you gave your heart to Jesus, if you asked Jesus into your life today and you got knocked over by a truck on the way home and you hadn't been baptized, that you weren't saved. But baptism is a step. It's a part of what we do to symbolize our salvation. If Jesus' last words contained the challenge to believe on him and to be baptized, baptism has to be something very important. Water baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's love and God's grace towards us. The person we were before is now dead forever, and we are raised with Jesus as a totally new creation. And this is one fantastic scripture. Therefore, if any person is engrafted, and there's so many different words in there, engrafted, that means entwined, in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and the new has come. And for those that are being baptized today, that's exactly how God sees it. Old life being left in the tub, coming out a new person and putting on new clean clothes, etc., etc. So today I hope that you can see there's absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain by following Jesus in water baptism. And ultimately it goes back to Jesus' statement, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Baptism is a simple but profound act of obedience that will carry with you for the rest of your life. And as we know from Scripture, obedience brings forth blessing. If you haven't been baptized tonight, if you haven't asked Jesus into your life tonight, I encourage you to consider it. I encourage you to think about it. I encourage you not to oopoo, not to push away something that you might not understand. But if God is tugging at your heart, if God is challenging you, then it's a good thing to do. If you were baptized as an infant, your parents were doing what we at LMC would call baby dedication. Your parents were indicating a desire for you to grow up in a Christian environment, trusting that one day you'll make a personal commitment yourself. By choosing to get baptized as an adult, you're not putting what your parents did away, you're just affirming what your parents did when they gave you that infant baptism or dedication, and they are now enjoying seeing you make that choice yourself. Of course, we can't be baptized without first embracing the reality of what it really represents, and that is a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, I encourage you to think about that. Tonight, we have the joy of baptizing three people who have committed to be followers of Jesus: Sienna, Chris and Ben. I'm going to pray for them, and then Chris, you can lead that. I think we'll do Sienna first, then we'll do Chris, and then we'll do Ben. And family, I'd encourage family, each of the ones coming up to get baptized, come and stand up here if you wish. Make certain you feel a part of the baptism, and of course we can all see where we're sitting, but let's really enjoy what God is going to do in the lives of these three in their courageous step tonight. Father, we just thank you for Sienna. We thank you for Chris. We thank you for Ben. We thank you for their families. We thank you for their church family, their friends that have led and helped them to this stage. And Lord, as these three take this step of faith, as they are obedient to your command, as they, Lord God, just do what you've led them to do, I pray that for each of them, they'll have their own personal encounter, their own personal significant event take place in their lives tonight. And so we just give you thanks, give you praise for them now in Jesus' name. Amen.